Rabotai, the according to Chazal, many sources in Chazal, and then of course all the generations, the story at the beginning of the Sedra, Yaakov Avinu has this whole confrontation with Esau. This is Maisa Avosim and Labanim. This is a prophetic story for the future encounter of the Jews with Edom, with the Chazal call the descendants of Esau, Edom, which is Rome, which turns into European civilization and the West, and then today it's the world culture, actually. Okay, and basically, up to, I mean, what's interesting is that it first came out maybe 1,000 or so years after, maybe more, 1,500 years after Yaakov meets with Esau. Oh, very good. Here. Give it to me. This chair. Here you have this chair. So, Yaakov meeting Esau is the story of the Jews in the Gullus of Edom, which is our Gullus, which is going on for 2,000 or so years. Even though it's strange, it didn't really happen until about 1,500 years after Yaakov actually meets Esau. It's a very long Jewish history before, but then the Romans appear and they're considered to be the descendants of Esau. Well, basically, they're certainly their spiritual descendants. Their life is, as we spoke about, Esau is a paradoxical life. They're interested in Olam Hazeh and enjoying this world without any morality. But they also have a certain streak of morality in a different compartment. So on Sunday, they might go to church. But during the rest of the week, they could be the mafia, the Italian mafia. Anyway, they don't believe that you have to have a synthesis to be consistent. You know, I do what I have to do one day for myself. Another day, I'm nice. That's their shita. It's against Yaakov. Yaakov Ishtam, he's consistent. Everything is the same page. Right? It's difficult to live like that, but anyway, we've been struggling with them for about 2,000 years, up to and including today. And what's interesting is that also the Chazal explained that Yaakov says, Hatzileini no miyad ochi, miyad Esav, save me from my brother from Esav, because Esav takes two forms. Sometimes he's a warrior and he's coming with weapons of war against us. Like Esau came with the 400 soldiers. He wanted to massacre Yaakov and his children. But also, Miyad Achi, even when he's a brother, he's nice to me, it's another danger, because then we have the danger of assimilating to their values. So we see that, for example, in the United States, more Jews have been lost to the Jewish people in the United States than the Holocaust. The Holocaust was murder. Esau, the murderer, they killed 6 million. And in the United States, since Jews came here, we probably lost around 20 million Jews have dropped out of being Jewish and became Goyim. About 20 million, at least three times more than the Nazis murdered in the Holocaust have been lost. Why? Because the culture is achi, very friendly, and take us in, be like them, and of course the ultimate, marry them. So it's the end. So that's two dangers. There's a danger of Esau, the enemy, and there's a danger of Esau, the brother. It's a double danger. Now, Esav we just said, when he's an ach, when he's our brother, it's very dangerous because we get attracted to it. And we voluntarily drop out. So we saw in America, millions of Jews have dropped out. They're dropping out very fast now. It's about 70-80% intermarriage rate, unfortunately. So, I mean, the finest Jews. I know a fellow, he's a very fine from Jew, told me he has a sister, three children, all three married guy. He's a from Jew. His sister, obviously grew up Jewish, from, and all three married guy. So it's a catastrophe that's going on in America. Yes?
But on the other hand, doesn't the Baal Tshuva movement, which is very great now, for the last 30, 40 years, doesn't that sort of work the other way?
Okay. Unfortunately, the Baal Tshuva movement is dying on the tree. But as we talk, the sum total, I'm told, I spoke to the greatest expert in Baal Tshuva movement in America the other day, Rabbi Rafael Butler. He told me that in the whole America, the new Baal Tshuva, college age, including the ones who are learning in Israel, and Osameach and Eish, it's less than 200. 200, the whole world, American college-age Baal Tshuva. So you're dealing with college-age Jews, could be, 800,000, maybe a million, and of which only 200, much less than 1,000. Much, much less than it used to be. In fact, I don't know, any of you learned in Chappelle's? Chappelle's on the brink of closing. It's not a big school. It was never big. Maybe had 100 boys. The brink of closing. Aish is down. Sameach is down. Everybody's down. There are very few Baal Tshuva today. It's unfortunate because it's part of a massive assimilation that 70-80% marrying out. So those who, even those who are left, are not interested in the religion. It just so happens that they marry Jewish, but it's like an accident. It's a very bad situation. So what he explains is like this, that Esav the Ach, he attacks us in a friendly way, but there's a double attack. It's a double attack. There's an attack on the brain and there's an attack on the heart. Okay, because you know, a Jew, like every human being, is a combination of a mind and emotions, right? That's what we are. We're common people, human beings, intellect and feelings. Of course, we have a body, but the intellect and feelings are what runs the body. So, Esav, he attacks us in this friendly way on both levels. First of all, and basically you can call it Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos. Avodah Zarah is a confusion in ideas, different ideas, and Gilui Arayos is the flesh, the attractions of the flesh, especially sex. So we know that, for example, in the world of ideas, Esav keeps on coming up with different ideas which attract the Jews. So you have ideas like you had the last 10 years, you had something called relative morality. That morality, till about 10, 20 years ago, even the Goyim thought that the rules of morality are fixed. In other words, it's always wrong to kill. It's always good to give charity. In other words, and in the old days when they were Christian, they said, God gave us these rules. So God gives the rules, you're not going to change them. But then they dropped Christian, and they dropped God, and they just felt human beings create the rules, but the rules are fixed. About 20 years ago, they came up with this new idea called relative morality. No, they said human beings make the rules, but they make the rules as they go on. So you can always change the rules. That's why the last 20 years you find that they're doing things which you never thought of ever doing. They redefined marriage. used to be marriage is always male-female. Now they say, no, there's marriages male-male, female-female. They changed it. Why? It's not moral. It is moral because morality changes. And if you say it's not moral, they say you're not moral because you're against the same sex. Morality today says it is good to have same sex.
I can't even say Mr. and Mrs. anymore. My wife works in a school. They have to use the first name. They can't say Miss Wolf. I say Judith.
Yeah, now they start a new thing towards transgender. That if a person looks like he's a male, but he feels that he's a female, so now he's a quasi-male, quasi-female, because his feelings are just as important as his physical body. So it's also a different morality. Now, all these things, and you know, go on and on and on, how they change values and morality. Now they're doing euthanasia. Euthanasia means killing sick people who don't want to live anymore, because a lot of people get old and they're tired of life and they're dying. So the doctor will give them an injection and kill them. It's very legal in about 8 states. It's very legal to kill yourself if you want. So it used to be suicide, used to be immoral. The Torah says not supposed to. Christians didn't believe in it. But now, anyway, it's many, many, many things. Now, this is confusion of the mind affects the Jews. The Jews are thinkers. So if you don't keep the Torah, start thinking like the non-Jewish world, you get into this relative morality. So that's one level of attack. One level of attack is the attack on the way you think. Now, there's another level, that we call the Avodah Zarah attack, the idolatry. It doesn't mean idols, it just means values and ways of living which are completely different. But it's packaged very nicely, right? Everything they say is packaged very nicely. Equal rights, and people have rights, so it sounds very good. So unfortunately, Jews fall into for that. That's one part of the Ochi, ace of my brother, can confuse me. Then there's another thing with the Ach Esav, and that's Gilu Arayos, that they work with pleasure, especially sex. That's a real killer, the sexual pleasures. We see that this country, and I'm sure Europe the same thing, is obsessed with sex. It's the greatest drive, and they push it. They started this, they started a long time ago, maybe 100 years ago, 200 years ago, when they had something called the Romantic Era, the 1800s. They took sex out of the closet, out of the bedroom, and they put it out in the open, and they made movies, theater. It's a very powerful force. It attracts the people from on the emotional level. So this passion is another level of the attack of the Ach of Esav, the Gilu Arayos attack. It's very strong. Both of these are super strong nowadays. Both the attack of Avodah Zarah and the attack of Gilu Arayos are both super strong because we're almost by Mashiach. And when you get really, really, really close to Mashiach, the anti-forces become super powerful. Right? When Abraham was getting to the pinnacle of his situation, so he gets the Akedah, he has to do something very tough. Or Yaakov, just about to enter Eretz Yisrael, and he has to fight the angel of Esau. So that's a general way things are. The closer you get to the big bracha Hashem's going to give you, the more there's evil forces trying to stop it. And I guess that the reason Hashem lets that happen, it's because he wants the person or the people to have the merit to overcome all this very super strong evil. If you overcome the super strong evil, you get the bracha to get to the goal line. So right before the goal line, the ninth inning, is very, very tough. So since we are almost by Mashiach, so it's super tough today, both the Avodah Zarah level, the confusion of the way people think, what people believe in, and the Gilu Arayos, the passion and sins of the flesh. Okay, so So he says like this, he says, we have a tradition, Shem Yishmo says, we have a tradition of that when Mashiach will come, this is a Kabbalistic Hasidic tradition, there'll be a double Mashiach. There'll be one Mashiach called Mashiach ben Yosef, there'll be another Mashiach called Mashiach ben David. Why do we need the two Mashiachim for? So he says, Yosef, it says in the Chumash that Ein Chacham v'Navan Kamoch, Pau says about Yosef, you're the most smartest person I ever met. And you're so smart, you can run the whole country. Yosef is the Koach of the Moach, the Koach of correct thinking. So that's a Yaakov Avinu, his main Talmud in Torah was Yosef. Koma Shalom and Meshiva Shem Ve'eva, Lamadim Yosef. Yosef is the Koach of Torah and Moach, of thinking. So we need that because we have all this tremendous false, confused thinking which is attacking us from all sides. We need the Koach of Mashiach ben Yosef to keep ourselves on the right thinking path. Then there's another attack of Gilui Arayos, of the passions of the flesh. This is on the emotional level. So who is the Mashiach to take care of that? Mashiach ben David. Because David is the lev, he's the heart of Israel, he's the emotional passion, he sings songs to Hashem, to Tehillim, and teaches us how to pray. So that will help us overcome. He gives us a different passion. David HaMelech was a passion for Hashem, passion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we want to be close to Hashem. Forget about the women. So that's David HaMelech. It's very interesting. It's so interesting how this the double attack of Esau, my brother, both in terms of confused thinking and in terms of the passion of the flesh, has two solutions: the Mashiach ben Yosef and the Mashiach ben David, which basically means learning Torah, Mashiach ben Yosef, and davening and getting excited about mitzvot. Mashiach ben David, to get passionate about, emotional, about mitzvos. So we, the truth is Rabotai, very, very important, and when we're in the yeshiva, we should develop both sides, the Yosef / Torah side, and the David / Avodas Hashem side. Because these are the two weapons we have against Esau. If you don't, it's very bitter. It's a bitter, very bitter, bitter struggle. It's not going to be easy to survive this this double challenge of Esau, my brother. Right? Now, he says like this. He says a very interesting chiddush. Says he claims a very interesting thing. He says that the Yetzer Hara of passion, in a certain way, you can flip that passion into being passionate in Yavodas Hashem. But the Yetzer Hara, false thinking, you can't flip because it's false. That's going to have to be eradicated. Right? That's going to be eradicated. So, it says that's why Molech is that part of Esav which is the Sheker. Completely false. That, Timcha, that has to be eradicated. However, the Esav of the bad passions, that we can flip it, we can get people passionate about doing mitzvahs. So he says that, he says many times, that there's going to be a fixing of Esau. We shouldn't think Mashiach comes, Esau, the Goyim, will disappear. It's not true. they will remain. So all these Goyim, the Americans, all the people from Edom, the Russians, they'll remain, but they'll be fixed. How will they be fixed? Falsehood will disappear. Anyone who's false, that's nothing. That has to go away. So the false values, the false idea, that's going to go. But the passion, they're very passionate. They get very excited. You see people by, let's say, by a football game. When you turn on, just a little bit you would see on TV or radio, you hear the crowd is roaring. There's always this background noise. The announcer's talking, but there's a background noise. You don't know what's going on. 50,000 people are roaring, roaring, roaring. Why are they screaming so much? We don't know why. I don't know what makes them so excited. But there's a passion. Okay, from where we're coming from, we don't see it. It's a ridiculous passion. But there is passion. So what's going to come when Mashiach comes, this passion will be channeled to the right thing. The taka will roar, the crowd. They'll roar for a good Dvar Torah. They'll roar when they see a tzaddik. They'll roar. There'll be a lot of noise. Because they'll get passionate. You can fix excitement. You can challenge the excitement in the right way. But as far as ideas, it has to be correct ideas. You can't take false ideas and work with false ideas. That's, by the way, Botan, just as a side point, there's a very big, the rabbis and Jewish leaders nowadays, we see what's going on, the 80% or so assimilation. So you have to come up with, you try to come up with strategies how to deal with it. So what the Shem Mishmur is saying is, you should use passion, but don't use false ideas. You can't take a false idea and say, I'm going to use this false idea for a good cause. That's falsehood can't be the basis of the salvation. You can't bring Mashiach through Sheker. You can take passion and bring Mashiach, but you can't take falsehood. This, by the way, is the difference between the Orthodox from Kiruv Baal Teshuva movement and, let's say, the Reform and the Conservative. They also do Kiruv. They're also trying to keep people in the fold. So why are we so much against them? Why are we Jews so much against the Reform and the Conservative? They're also trying to bring Jews, to keep them from intermarrying. Right? Conservative, for sure. Reform, I don't know so much. But they want them to stay Jewish. So the answer is because they use falsehood. They say false things. They think if I say the false thing, it'll... So they adopted, let's say, gays, gay rights. They will now do... I think even the Conservative will now do a gay marriage. You know, it's a falsehood. It's against the Torah. It's false. You can't say it's called. You can't say that the Torah condones such a thing. So they'll say, but this will bring the people in. If we support this, so then they'll come in, so they'll stay connected. But that's, Shem Shmuel says, that's one part of the challenge, the false ideas. And the other is the passion. He says you cannot fix false ideas. False ideas have to go. You can't use them. You can fix passion. Someone has passion, you can work with them to get the passion in the right direction. That you should. You should use people. People who have problems with passion, that's fine. But false ideas, not going to work. That's what he says. And I think he's defining very nicely the difference between the Kiruv movement of the Frum crowd, the Orthodox, and the Kiruv movement of the Conservative and the Reform crowd. They're ready to say false ideas in order to bring people in, but we're not ready to do that. We can't. Torah's emes. So the commitment to truth has to be inviolate. Cannot be, even if it means so many Jews will fall by the way. I'm not, even though I say we concede, by using falsehood, you'll bring in 1,000 Jews who otherwise won't come in. But we can't do that because Titan emes liyakov, Torah's emes. Torah has to stay true. No matter how many people will drop out, this I heard also from the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik. He said that to keep Torah true, to be loyal to the truth of Torah, is something that you're supposed to give up your life for. He says that's why Rebbe, that's why he says this. And he had proofs from the Gemara that the Chachamim, in order to keep the truth of the Torah, they would give up their life, literally. I heard Shatavos by the Oel, by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I heard him say the same thing. He said that previous Rebbe would give up his life because he was arrested in Russia for teaching Torah. He said, teaching Torah, the truth of Torah is so important that you have to give up your life for it. You can't compromise on that. Passion, yes, we can work with passion, but not this. It's very interesting. It's a shame Ishmael wants to say. So, he says like this. He says that the Gemara says that every generation has the possibility of Mashiach. Every generation has the possibility that Mashiach will come. It means that basically this energy of the Mashiach ben Yosef, the Mashiach ben David, is really in the world. It's in the world, and we can tap. We can. It can become complete. It can go. It can become mamish Mashiach. I mean, that'll be the real thing. But even if it doesn't go, but you can tap into it. This energy is sitting here in the world to help Jews. Koach of Mashiach ben Yosef and the Koach of Mashiach ben David. So we can tap into it and help us overcome the difficult challenge of Esau. The Ach is the biggest, more dangerous challenge. Miad Ochi, Miad Esau. See, even living in Israel doesn't protect the Jew from this nowadays. The Jews in Israel are very much targeted by the Ach, false values of Esau, for the bad passions of Esau. Living in Israel is not us. But I find amazing is the fact that, like he says, that it gets very strong before Mashiach comes, these challenges. Because in the old days, a lot of this came from the TV. The TV. So the Rabbanim used to say, don't have a TV. Don't look at TV. That's when I grew up. Then the yeshivas, they told us, stay away from TV. So as a child, it was hard to accept what they were saying. But when I got old, I realized that they were saying good. So I never put a TV into my house. Then, but I thought I was safe. But then, came along the computer. When the computer came along, we brought the computer into the house. We had to have a computer. So then, I had kids, we were raising kids. All of a sudden, I see that my kids are starting to talk about ice skating stars, the pictures of ice skating. I said, "What? Where's this come from? We don't have that. He says, "Oh, we saw it on the computer." I said, "No, the computer's only for work, homework. It's not for culture. To learn about the culture." So I tell them, if you're going to do cultural things on the computer, we're going to close the computer. You can't use it for school either. So my kids were very honest kids. They said, "Okay, Abba, we can't control ourselves. You have to have it. If it's open, we're going to have to look at whatever, the movies, whatever, the sports." So I said, "Okay, we're closing it." So they said, "Okay, Abba, you decide." We closed it. We kept the computer closed for about a year and a half. There was, no TV and no movies, but I closed the computer for a year and a half. After a year and a half, my kids come to me and said, "Abba, now we think we can control ourselves. Open it up and we won't look at the sports. We won't look at the movies. We'll just do homework." I said, "Okay, fine." So we opened it up and they kept their word. They didn't... So I was able to protect. See, you have to create protection, protective walls. You need walls. Because if we are fully exposed, it is such a difficult tough. You see 80% of the Jews in America marrying Goyim. It's a complete knockout. So they're all bright people, these Jews. And they're good people too, but they succumb to the challenge of the false values and the passion that Esau gives. So we need walls. That's why I'm very much for walls. Now, I thought that if you can control the computer, so you have it all in control. But now, it's not true, because today we have smartphones. Smartphones, I mean, it's in the guy's pocket. He has all this culture, false values, false ideas, passion, bad passion. So, me personally, I stayed with the old phone, and I refused to get a smartphone. I don't trust myself. I said, I have to have a wall. My wall is, I will not have a smartphone. So I don't have to deal with it. If I want to look at something, I have to go to the computer. And I know the computer, I've trained, I'll only do homework or whatever. I have to do my work. And I look at one Israeli website for the Israeli news, which I think is kosher website. I was Sheva, it's the settlers' right-wing website, so I hear about all the settlers. And that's I know I can control myself with the computer. The phone, I don't know, so I keep it away. Now, my wife, she has a smartphone, so she has the challenge. She has to be, you know, keep it straight. She, Baruch Hashem, is okay. But you guys, I know every one of you probably has a smartphone. So you have to say words like this. The Rebbeinu Shlalom only gives a challenge to people who have the energy to deal with this challenge. I'm an old geezer. I can't deal with the smartphone, so I have to keep the old-fashioned phone in my pocket.
I'm older than you. I don't have any phone.
Oh, so you're better. Okay. See, the old geezers, we have certain really? Level of that we can deal with. So that's what we do. But you're the young guys. You have more koach, more energy, more kochas ha-nefesh than we do. So Hashem gave you smartphones in your pocket. And in your pocket, you have all the Yetzirah of all of Esav, everything. All the false ideas on the Moach level, all the passion, the Gilra Rayas and the Tumah. Everything is there in the phone in your pocket. But you have to have the power to stay away from it. You do, because if Hashem put it in your pocket, it's a vote of confidence that you have the energy to do it. So, Kol HaKavod Lachem, I give you a lot of honor that you're at such a high level that you can mamish walk around with Achi Esav, my brother Esav is in my pocket, and I will be stronger than him. I will defeat him like Yaakov defeated Esav's angel in that battle. You are defeating Esav's angel of the Ach every day. Yes, you call.
So, are we allowed to run away from a challenge because...